Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rami Makhlouf.
You don't want to overreact. You know, you want to keep perspective.
Nah, screw that. Hit the music, Robbie. Hit the music. Let's go.
Let's go. Fit the man for a gold jacket.
For those who don't like our people, that's tough. We like them.
Live and local on 670 The Score.
Go Bears.
Ah, those were better times. I am Rami Makhlouf with you for the next 3 hours from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. I got Sean Sears on the other side of the glass, and a jam-packed show for you here these next 3 hours. Clay Harbor, 9-year NFL veteran, CHSN contributor. He'll be here to talk some Bears at 6:20. Bill Schmidt from The Game in Milwaukee, also the Packers Radio Network. He'll be here to talk Packers-Bears coming up at 7:20. And Herb Howard from The Bigs, their beat reporter covering the Bears. He'll be here at 8 o'clock. That and much, much more. And, of course, always you at 312-644-6767. If you want to give me a call or hit me up on the text line, might try and squeeze in a few of you before we get with Clay Harbor, easy for me to say, at 6:20. But I wanted to start off the evening. And again, 312-644-6767 with your thoughts on what I'm about to say. With something I keep, it's a common refrain among people who talk about the Bears, and I'm not going to call anybody out by name because that's not what this is about. I'm not trying to start radio wars or media wars with anybody. That's because a lot of the time, these are people who I respect, who I think are really smart. Far smarter than me. I'm a dumbass for the most part. You know what I mean? I keep hearing people say something, though, whose opinions I respect and put a lot of weight in. And I go, really? Are we so sure about that? Are we really so sure about that? And what I keep hearing is when we bring up the Ryan Poles discussion and what he has and hasn't done, what he's done well and not so well in his time as the general manager, you'll hear people go, well, yeah, obviously the Eberflus thing was a mistake, and he's made some mistakes when it comes to personnel, but this roster is much better than when Ryan Poles took it over. It's a better roster than when Ryan Poles took it over. And I sit there and I go, really? Are they? Why and how are people so sure that this roster is good or better than it was when Ryan Poles took over? 312-644-6767. Because I don't really see a lot of evidence to that effect, quite frankly. I see a team that could very well lose 11 games in a row on Sunday. 11 games in a row. You know how bad you got to be in the NFL to lose 11 games in a row? And look, we can sit here and say coaching. And yeah, there probably is some of that. But you don't lose 11 in a row just because of coaching. You don't. And that's just the tip of the iceberg in the case that I'm going to make against this common notion that this Bears roster is good somehow, or somehow better. Some would even say far better than what it was when Ryan Poles took over. They're going to lose 11 games in a row in a season where they were supposed to compete and contend. How does that happen with a roster that's good, or a roster that's better than what it was When Ryan Poles took this thing over? A roster that is good or better than what it was when he took over is not losing 11 games in a row. I don't care how bad the coaching is. The margin between great, good, average, and bad teams in the NFL is nuts, and the Bears have faced a full spectrum of those teams from bad to great. The margin between them is not so wide that simply on coaching, the Bears would lose 11 games in a row. They'd have stumbled into a win by now if the roster was significantly better than when Ryan Poles took it over. But like I said, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Today, Pro Bowlers were announced. The Bears had one. You can catch them weekly right here on The Score after every game on the Spiegel and Holmes show. Jalen Johnson. And guess what? He was not drafted by Ryan Poles. He was already here, inherited. Now, Ryan Poles gave him the contract, kept him here, but he didn't even draft that guy. And here's a fun fact from our friend Mark Potash at the Chicago Sun-Times. There are more ex-Bears on the Pro Bowl teams than there are Bears. Roquan Smith, Khalil Mack, and Andrew DePaula all are Pro Bowlers this year. All were guys that Ryan Poles had on his roster and said, no, they can't be part of this thing. We're not going to win with guys like that. And by the way, not only are those guys Pro Bowlers, all those guys in the playoffs. And there are more guys than that, just those three, that are going to be playing significant football in Week 18 and or going to the playoffs, who Ryan Poles decided could not be a part of this thing. Guys who are somewhere winning right now, while the Bears are going to lose their 11th game in a row. I was reading Bill Barnwell's 50-player All-Pro team, his prediction on who will be the 50 players to make the All-Pro team, best at each position. Take a guess, Score listener. How many Bears were on Bill Barnwell's 50-player All-Pro team at ESPN.com? Yep, you're right, zero. Yep, that is the correct answer. Zero players on the All-Pro team. And then, as I started thinking about this, it took me back to a conversation I had here on The Score before the season started. And this just popped into my head as I was thinking about this common notion that I hear a lot from a lot of people, smart people, that this roster is somehow good or better than it was when Ryan Poles took over, that this roster is better somehow. And I remembered a conversation I had in the preseason, back in August, about an article at CBSSports.com. It was August 28th, this went up. And it was a simple exercise. They just were ranking the players and coaches across the NFC North. And this is just the NFC North. And I know it's the best division in football, but this is what you're going to have to get through before we even get to the Eagles of the world or a healthy 49ers team and these other teams around the NFC and around the NFL that may even be better than some of these teams in the NFC North. But this article back in August, ranking each position group and the coaching for all the teams in the division. And I remember seeing this thing and it raising red flags for me and made me wonder if we were all trapped in the bubble of Bears excitement on the heels of drafting Caleb Williams and not really giving a true and honest assessment of what this roster was. We were all excited about Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze. And then I looked at this thing, and I'll just quickly go through it. Back in August, before the season even started, ranking each position and the coaching for all four teams in the division, they had the Bears third at quarterback. The way Sam Darnold has played and the way Caleb Williams' rookie season has gone, I would argue the Bears are fourth at quarterback now by the end of the season. They had the Bears third at running back, only ahead of Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler of the Vikings. Guess what? They've run the football better and been more productive. The Bears went down a notch to the worst team in the division at running back. They did have the Bears second at wide receiver with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze, But with Jordan Addison's coming out party this year, along with Justin Jefferson, probably the best wide receiver in this league, with what Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams have done in Detroit, guess what? The Bears dropped two spots there and now probably have the worst wide receiver core, just based on production in the division. They had Cole Kmet as the third best tight end in the division. Guess what? Tucker Kraft has had a better season than him. They actually went down a notch there, too. Offensive line, they had the Bears fourth. They're a more distant fourth than they were when this season started. Defensive line, they had the Bears fourth. They're a more distant fourth than they were when the season started. Edge rusher, they had the Bears fourth. They are a more distant fourth than they were when the season started. Linebacker, they had the Bears first. That was wrong. They're third at best right now. Cornerback, they had the Bears first. With the tag team of Jalen Johnson and Tariq Stevenson, Jalen Johnson made the Pro Bowl today. Pretty good season. How are we all feeling about Tariq Stevenson right now? Safety, they had the Bears third. That was with a healthy Jaquan Brisker. We don't know if we'll see that again. I really hope we do for his well-being's sake before we even talk about football. But for the purposes of this exercise, they're not the second best safety duo in this division. And then special teams, they had the Bears first. I don't think they took into account that Cairo Santos can't hit a field goal over 50 yards, while the rest of the league is kicking field goals damn near 60 yards. And then they had the Bears fourth in coaching, and we know how that went. But we're just talking about the roster right now. They might be the worst team in this division at every position group. Every single position group across the board, you can make the argument that the Bears are the worst in the division. And again, very good division. I understand that. But that's what they're going to have to get through. And you're telling me that a roster that's better than it was when Ryan Poles took over has one Pro Bowler that he didn't draft, has more Pro Bowlers on other teams that he let go, has zero players that'll make the All-Pro team, and you're the worst in your division, arguably, at every position group. And yet, I hear the common refrain, yeah, he didn't get the coach right, but this roster is better. Is it? Am I taking crazy pills? How bad was this roster if they went from, like, a distant fourth to just a little less distant fourth? Like, how bad was it? Am I misremembering how bad this roster was and not giving the current roster enough credit? I keep hearing this from so many people, smart people, people smarter than me. Why and how are people so sure that this roster is good or better than what it was? 312-644-6767. Let me get one quick call in before I talk with Clay Harbor. If you want to talk about this, we'll open the phone lines up right after we talk with Clay. And you can always obviously get in the text line at 312-644-6767. But how and why do I keep hearing that this roster is good or better than it was when Ryan Poles took over? Let me get in Yogi on the road. You're on the score. What's up, Yogi?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
Hey, so I was, when I was called in originally, I was going to make the argument that they were better, but the more I listen to you, I can't. You're right. That roster that Ryan Pace had made with Matt Nagy and all of them, they had more wins. They were better. But that being said, the roster that the Bears had this year, I felt like should have been good enough to at least contend. And I know you've talked about this a bunch, and the fact that they didn't is just, maybe they just aren't as good as we thought they were.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I think that's the realization we got to come to, because a lot of us, I'm going to own it. I'll put a hand up in the air right now. A lot of us were drinking the Kool-Aid when it came to this roster.
Stupid.
Yeah, that's how I feel right now, man. That is how I feel right now. I feel a little stupid coming to that realization that Yogi just laid out, that we all maybe put a little bit too much stock in this roster. And I feel like I'm taking crazy pills when I keep hearing people saying, yeah, but this roster is better. Is it really?
Bears.
312-644-6767. Again, we're going to talk with Clay Harbor for a few minutes. If you want to get on hold, I will open up the phone lines right after we talk with Clay. And they'll be open until my next guest, Bill Schmidt of the Packers Radio Network, who's coming up at 720. So plenty of time for your calls, your thoughts coming up after we talk with Clay Harbor, 9-year NFL veteran, CHSN contributor. He'll join me, Rami Makhlouf, right after this on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Stupid.
Yeah, I mean, we've done it since the game was over on Thursday night, because the only thing I'm focused on is the Packers. And really, the Packers is what should be talked about. Nothing else should be talked about, in my personal opinion. Not next season, not anything should be talked about other than the focus of beating the Packers, because that's important to this organization and it's important to the city. And the last game's over, obviously, that we played them. This is an entirely new game. And it means a lot to beat them. And I want these guys to be able to feel that and experience that. Because nothing else should be talked about, in my personal opinion. Everybody got a job to do, and it's to beat the Packers. That's what, to keep it clean up here, is to beat the Packers.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And with you until 9 o'clock, that was Richard Hightower, Bears Special Teams Coordinator. We'll talk about that Bears-Packers game on Sunday from the other side of the field with Bill Schmidt of the Packers Radio Network coming up at 720. But joining me now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois, 9-year NFL veteran, CHSN contributor. You can follow him on Twitter for some really, really good video breakdowns and hot football takes at Clay Harbs 82. Pleasure to welcome in Clay Harbor. Clay, how are you this evening, my man?
I'm doing great. Just got done with the Big Pro Football Show, so I'm ready to talk some ball. Got a nice little warm-up over there with your there guy, you David Hall, and Ruthie Polinsky, so I'm ready.
Gotta love talking some football with Hall and Ruthie over there. And glad to have you, and glad you're warmed up. Is there more juice for Packers-Bears anymore, especially when you're talking about a Bears team that's lost 10 in a row, has nothing to play for, and maybe has their eyes on Cancun?
You know, I've been in this situation, Rami. Obviously, I played with the Jacksonville Jaguars for 4 years. Unfortunately, we had a lot of these games where at the end of the season, you're not really playing for much. But when you're playing against your division rival, and for me, that's the Tennessee Titans or the Houston Texans, AFC South. This isn't Bears Packers, but you did get up for that game, especially when that team is going to the playoffs. So you have a chance to end your season literally beating a playoff team. The amount of confidence that gets you going into the offseason next season. You see our last game, we just beat a playoff team. They could go out and win another game. They could win two games in the playoffs. And to be able to say you played this team and beat them when they're playing all their starters, they're trying to win this game to keep the momentum going, it would be huge. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. But if it does, if you can put together four quarters of good football and go out there and pull off a win, break the 11-game streak of losing to the Packers, I think that would be amazing for the Bears. Give Caleb Williams some confidence, his team some confidence going into a very uncertain offseason.
And Clay, I hear everything you're saying. You're getting me hyped up. I want to put on a helmet and run through a wall right now, quite frankly. But it's also, and I think we all do this in all walks of life, it sounds like a guy trying to hype himself up for something when there isn't a lot to play for. Do you think that the Bears still have that in that locker room where they're whatever it is, whatever little nugget of motivation, like what you just talked about, that they can dig up, that they will dig up. Do they still have that? Or is this a team that has cashed it in, having lost 10 in a row and five in a row, four in a row since they fired the head coach?
I lost 10 in a row once in my life, and that was 2012 with the Philadelphia Eagles under Andy Reid. The next year, we ended up making the playoffs under Chip Kelly. But we did finish the season strong, so I think that really does matter. It builds momentum going into the offseason. But I will say some uncomfortable truth here. A lot of what the guys are thinking about right now is getting through this game healthy. You do not want to get hurt on the last game of the year. This happened to me in a contract year, Jacksonville Jaguars, my second year with the Jags, right before a contract year. I ended up breaking my lower fibula in the second half of week 17 when we had four wins playing against Indianapolis Colts with six wins. It cost me a little bit of money, cost me the entire offseason rehabbing. So that's the first thing that players are thinking about. It's uncomfortable. You don't want to hear that. It's Like, yeah, you go out there every day and get hurt. But when you're at this point in the season, you made it the whole year. You're one of the guys that stayed healthy. You want to stay healthy, but you still got to give yourself these little pieces. You're talking to yourself. If we can win this game, we can build momentum for the offseason. And there's the other guys. They see this as an opportunity to put stuff on tape. You had a new coach coming in. What's the first game he's going to watch? He's going to watch the most recent game when he starts grading your tape, when he starts seeing if you're the right type of guy that he wants in his program. So you know, if you're one of these borderline guys, you're looking for a new contract, you're looking to stay on the team, I've been there. You are looking to put out good film, good tape, week in and week out, because 1 week of bad tape could be the end of your career if you're not a staple guy. So there's reasons to play. There's the personal reasons for the tape. Obviously, you don't want to get hurt. But then there is the team reason. You want to beat a team. You had an opportunity to beat your division rival that's going to the playoffs, put them in a lack of momentum situation going forward where they might have to play Philadelphia or the LA Rams to beat a playoff team. That says a lot right there. And that is actually something you could hang your hat on leaving the season.
Talking with Clay Harbor, CHSN contributor, 9-year NFL veteran here on The Score. And I do want to talk some more big picture stuff with you before we wrap this up, Clay. But as far as this Sunday's game goes, what I find really dangerous about it when it comes from the Bears standpoint is that is a very motivated team on the other side of the field. A win for them means they don't have to go to Philadelphia in the first round of the playoffs. And I think they'd like to put off that matchup for at least a week if they can. And the other thing they have in mind is, and I've talked to some people up in Green Bay, they want to get up big and sit their guys, sit Jordan Love, sit Josh Jacobs. They want to get off to a fast start along with, you know, what we've seen from the Bears in terms of slow starts. If they're not ready to go, if they don't have the engines revved up, if they're not warmed up like you were coming into this interview, it could be an ugly start on Sunday at Lambeau Field.
It could be. They definitely want to get up early, get their guys out by halftime, get them some time off, get them off their legs, because that will help moving forward. And then you said it. You don't want to go play the Eagles, number two seed. In my opinion, they're the most complete team in the NFC. I would take them even over the Lions or the Vikings. That's because their run game and their defense. The Lions, a little bit defensive. It doesn't give you what you want right now. Obviously, they have a lot of injuries going on. Hutchinson, Aleem, Mikel. Yeah, you got a lot of guys out there. Vikings, Sam Darnold, everybody's still questioning him. I think he's going to play well. Brian Flores is calling great defense. But when you got Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, you got all these guys, Jalen Carter, just named to the Pro Bowl, great defense, Cooper DeJean, Pro Bowl snub. You got a full team. You do not want to go into Philadelphia. I can tell you from experience, I've played in a playoff game in Philadelphia. It will not go well for the opposing team. And I'm not saying the Rams are a walk in the park. Obviously, you got Stafford, who's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You got a good coach in Sean McVay, one of the best in the league. But they're a much more winnable game than the Philadelphia Eagles this year. So they definitely want to win this game, and they definitely want to get their players some rest, because that matters. You come into this game refreshed. You know the Eagles are sitting their starters. Big discussion today, Saquon Barkley. He's going for the record. Should you sit him or should you play him? What's your take on that, Rami? What do you think? Should Saquon go for the record, or should they sit him and get him ready for the playoffs?
I wanted to see him go for the record. I don't know how much the record means, given this is a 17-game season. That's a 16-game record. But if I'm Saquon,
less attempts than Dickerson had, though.
That is, I just saw that stat the other day, which I thought was kind of crazy. I would have liked to see him go for it. I think Saquon Barkley wants to go for it. He essentially said as much after that game on Sunday. But he is being the good soldier and saying all the right things after the decision was made and said, "Hey, this isn't a lot of sweat off my back. We're here to do bigger things."
I know we're talking Chicago Bears, but real quick on Saquon, I absolutely think that Saquon should go for this record, and I think they should give him the opportunity and the players the opportunity to decide, not the front office. You're not going to tell me you're going to run this guy 345 times during the season, and you can't give him 20 more reps to break the NFL all-time record that's been set for 40 years from Eric Dickerson to make this guy immortal, a legend? You got to give him that opportunity. And from what I'm hearing in Philly, the people I know out there, the players really wanted to go for it. It's like when a guy's up with his bonus, Rami. If you're playing with a team, you know you got a guy that's got a receiver bonus. Before the game, he goes, "Yo, I got 80 yards and I get a million-dollar bonus." Quarterback goes, "We're going to get you that bonus." It's late in the game, we're trailing, we're winning, whatever. You are going to that guy. Guys will go to bat for their players. You take care of your brothers. Yeah, you trained within the offseason, training camp, OTAs. You want that guy to get that record. You want him to get that incentive. This is way bigger than incentive. This is something that will catapult you into a legendary status. So to me, I know there's a risk that comes along with it. He had 167 yards the last time they played the Giants. You could probably play this guy for a half. Now, I know you don't got Jalen Hurts going, but Tanner McKee looked good when he was in last week when they beat the Cowboys 41-7. So for me, give this guy the opportunity to get the record. And I know Howie, great general manager. He's the one who probably made the decision, told Nick, we're not risking it, because last year, A.J. Brown tore up his knee. He had like a sprained MCL the last game of the season. Then they go into Tampa and get beat bad, and they didn't have A.J. Brown. So that's probably a bad taste in his mouth that probably led to this decision. But me, talking to some guys from Philly, some old teammates, listening to Shady McCoy, Westbrook, listen to these guys. They all think that he should be able to go for it. What they've tried to do with the running back position to devalue it, this would be a huge statement for running backs. It'd be a huge statement in front of the Giants. That said, we watched Hard Knocks. They said, we're not going to pay this guy $12 million a year. He's a 28-year-old running back. We're going to pay Daniel Jones. It just seems fitting. He breaks the NFL rushing record in the Giants in New York. The Giants had drafted him and let him go and chose Daniel Jones over him. To me, it's a storybook ending.
And you know what? Talking with Clay Harbor of CHSN here on The Score, I was doing a little exercise last night here on The Score, Clay. So like a what-if exercise, and having, you know, had the chance through the holidays with time off and all these games on different days to watch more of the NFL outside of the Bears than I've really had a chance to do throughout the season. And I see guys all around the league who I'm like, man, the Bears could have got that guy. The Bears, and Kevin O'Connell is an example in Minnesota who they didn't even interview. But the biggest one to me, maybe, is the guy that you're talking about in Saquon Barkley. And you mentioned the Hard Knocks, the offseason Hard Knocks, where they said the Bears were one of the teams that were driving up the price on Saquon. But obviously, they weren't willing to go as high as the Eagles were. And man, I just think a guy like that, just from a production standpoint and a game planning standpoint for how much attention that requires from a defense, standing behind Caleb Williams in his rookie year is priceless, is immeasurable. And then today I'm reading an article about the Giants and how they haven't been able to fill the void of his leadership in that locker room and how priceless and immeasurable that would be for the Bears as an organization. They really missed, and I don't know what the money difference was, but to me they really missed in
$4 million a year.
Yeah, that's a guy who makes a huge difference in this season, I think, if they're willing to put that money out there.
Poles, to me, give me a 60-second rant on Poles. I know Poles is going to be here. All the reporting, Albert Breer, Adam Schefter, they really expect Poles to run point and pick this next head coach. But Poles has missed a lot. The Saquon Barkley one is another one that nobody talks about. You paid DeAndre Swift $8 million a year. You couldn't go $4 million more a year when you have so much cap space to bring in Saquon Barkley to have your running game going. When you have a young quarterback, what helps your young quarterback more than a strong running game? Swift is great in certain situations. He's a shifty guy. He's not a between-the-tackle, carry defender, yards-after-contact runner. That would have been huge. You look at Montez Sweat this year. Look who made the Pro Bowl. Jonathan Greenard. We were all told that you couldn't get a good edge rusher on free agency. That's why we gave up the 40th overall pick to trade for Montez Sweat. You could have saved the pick. You could have signed Greenard for less, who's a Pro Bowler this year, has 13 sacks, and then you could have drafted Zach Frazier, and you could have had your long-term center, you see, with the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's been a bunch of misses by Poles I think people are overlooking, even besides the Luke Getsy signing, the Shane Waldron signing, the signing of Matt Eberflus, and these misses there. So there's a lot to unpack with Ryan Poles, and given this guy is a key to really pick another head coach when he's on a one-year deal. This guy's on a one-year deal. He's about to sign a coach to probably a five-year deal. So to me, that doesn't make sense. Are you going to extend Poles? Are you going to fire Poles and bring in somebody with Ben Johnson, Vrabel, whoever you bring in? So it's just what Kirk Herbstreit said the other day. The cycle of dysfunction seems to be continuing, and it's unfortunate because they have a chance to break the cycle right now and really marry a general manager with a head coach, and that's what I would like to see.
And Clay, I you lead me right into the next question, and it's with what I started the show with. There are a lot of people who write about the Bears, who talk about the Bears. I didn't call anybody out by name because I said this isn't about
like radio wars or media wars or my take against your take. These are people whose opinions I value, that I put a lot of weight in, and I hear it commonly that, well, for all the mistakes that Ryan Poles has made, especially with Matt Eberflus and the coaching, this roster is good, and this roster is better than what it was when he took over. And I'm looking at a roster that's about to lose 11 in a row, that has one Pro Bowler, that has three guys that Ryan Poles let walk or traded that will be playing in the Pro Bowl, probably zero All-Pro players on this team. Is it just plain as day sort of fact that this roster is good or better than what it was when he took over? Because the evidence doesn't support that in my eyes.
Look at the offensive linemen he's brought in the last couple of years, right? Lucas Patrick this year, Ryan Bates. You bring in Matt Pryor. You bring in these guys. I'm sorry for you to say that you have the most depth on the offensive line before the season is wild. Tevin Jenkins has missed 75% of his snaps or more in a game since he's been here 32 times in 4 years. That's 8 games per year that this guy isn't playing. You're telling me that it's his fault that he's missed his games and he's injured, and now you're putting these bad situations into your offensive line? No, you have to look at trends and see, does a guy typically finish the season? Does he finish games? That's just not a guy that can finish games. When I know people that played in Tennessee that knew Nate Davis and said when they signed him, he is not the right type of guy. He's not a culture guy. You're talking about building culture. You're bringing in Nate Davis, a guy that everybody knows isn't a culture guy, isn't a team guy, is more of a me guy. And you see what happens. You're $30 million out on one of your signings that was supposed to protect your number one pick quarterback. Obviously, Braxton Jones is okay, but the offensive line to me, it's supposed to be Poles' hot spot. He was an offensive lineman. He had a cup of coffee in the NFL. I think he made a practice squad maybe, or maybe just a training camp. But you should be able to diagnose the position you play. I can look at a tight end and say, that's a good tight end, right? If you can't pick up a good offensive line and you're a general manager that played offensive line, what makes me think that you're going to find a receiver, a defensive back? What makes me think you're going to sign a head coach? You've got to be able to be an expert at the position you played. And to me, Poles has shown that he's not.
Last one for you, Clay. Two-parter. I obviously, the number one thing when it comes to this Bears team is the quarterback, is Caleb Williams. Overall this season, has it been a positive or a negative in terms of his development with all the chaos that's swirled around him? And is it worth it to run him out there Sunday against that Packers team?
It's worth it to run him out there. I've been over this one, and we had that question today on the Big Pro Football Show. He needs the reps, right? And this season, I'll be honest, it's been a negative. I expected more. He's not in a great situation. He needs better protection, but he said it himself today. A lot of the sacks are on him. He needs to be better, but I think a better scheme could have helped him out. And this dysfunction didn't do anything for him as well. You got your passing game coordinator, who isn't even running a position group. A passing game coordinator has no position group. He's not leading any meetings. He's just kind of wandering around. You don't even know what these guys do. Okay, now he's your offensive coordinator leading me. Now he's the head coach. You bring him down from the booth where he's obviously comfortable calling plays to the sidelines. Now the plays are getting in a little bit later, and you saw how that affected Caleb. And then what makes it look even worse, look at your Pro Bowl quarterbacks in the NFC. You got Jared Goff, you got Sam Darnold, and you got Jaden Daniels. That's two quarterbacks in the NFC North, and the guy that you took over, you took Caleb Williams over. That's just a bad look for the Bears right there. It shows that you're not ready to compete in the North. You have probably the fourth out of four quarterbacks in the North, and the guy that you didn't even really look at, you didn't bring him in your building, Jaden Daniels. I'm not saying he's going to be – it could be a RG3, Andrew Luck thing down the road. Who knows who's going to have the better career? This is early. I think Caleb Williams can get better, but you're seeing a lot of the college stuff that he did. He's just not playing on time. He's not hitting accurate shots. Downfield passing – he's the worst in the NFL. He has the worst sack-to-pressure ratio. That means the amount of times you're pressured versus the amount of times you're sacked. It ranges around 15% of the times you're pressured to get sacked. Caleb's leading the league at 30. A good quarterback is probably at 10. So he's getting sacked 20% more when he's pressured than most quarterbacks in the league. So he's got to get better at that, and I know he needs an offseason. Players make the biggest jump in the NFL. I've seen it from year one to year two. So hopefully this offseason he's got a good routine, a good plan together, and he can come back with a stronger offensive line, still some weapons, because I know he's got some weapons. DJ Moore has been quarterback-proof his whole career. It's the only year he hasn't had 1,000 yards since I think he had P.J. Walker throwing him the football. So to me, he goes, he has a good offseason. I still have faith. But to answer the question you asked firstly, this was a disappointing year for Caleb Williams in my eyes. And I know there's a lot of extenuating circumstances, right? The line, the play calling, but I expected more from the generational first overall pick.
That is Clay Harbor, 9-year NFL veteran, CHSN contributor. Check out the Big Pro Football Show over there and on Twitter at ClayHarbs82. Clay, great stuff, man. Really appreciate the time and the insight.
Yeah, appreciate it, Rami. Thanks, man.
And he joins me on the Score Hotline, presented by Circus Sports Illinois. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. Time for your calls at 312-644-6767. You want to talk about anything Clay hit on right there. Also, the question I started the show with, why and how are people so sure that this roster is good or better than it was when Ryan Poles took over? Somebody help me out. 312-644-6767. Rami Makhlouf with you right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Back to the Bears talk in 1 second, but I was just telling my producer, Sean Sears, on the other side of the glass. I saw Alex Bregman trending on Twitter, so I clicked on that, and there's about 20 rumors out there about Alex Bregman. Nothing happened, but about 20 rumors out there about Alex Bregman, none of them having anything to do with the Chicago Cubs.
Terrible. Take a lap.
Because apparently this isn't as big a market as Detroit or Toronto or Boston or what was the other team you said, Sean? You mentioned another team during the break. Another small. Oh, San Diego.
Yep. Another team that supposedly spends more money than Chicago Cubs.
Those are all bigger spenders in this offseason's free agent market than your Chicago Cubs in the third largest market in Major League Baseball with their own TV network. And a village built around their stadium.
Just be cool.
No.
Everyone be cool.
No, I won't. I won't be cool. I will keep banging this drum. What is happening? What is happening with the Chicago Cubs? Where is the money? I have to know. It's crazy. They've cut salary this offseason. They expect us all to look at the shiny object that is Kyle Tucker and go, ooh, they've cut salary. There's no excuse for that. There are plenty of guys out there that would make this baseball team better, and they have the money to go get them. And I've said this almost verbatim on the last three or four shows I host, because that's all that is to be said about the Chicago Cubs right now and the way that they're going about their business. It's driving me crazy. As somebody who has defended them and the way they've gone about doing their business for a few years now, this is driving me crazy and making me look bad, quite frankly, and that's the part about it I hate the most.
How dare they make
exactly.
You look stupid.
Yes, exactly. For years I've been going, no, they're not cheap. They've just got a plan. Or they're just getting outbid by bigger markets. You know, the Yankees, the Mets, the Dodgers of the world, they outbid you. I throw my hands up and I go, you got outbid by the bigger guy. What are you going to do? But when the Tigers are more involved in free agent rumors than the Cubs, there's no defending that. There's simply no
stupid.
Defending that. I know Robbie Triano might be listening, and that hurt his feelings, but there's no defending that. None whatsoever.
He would agree with you. He knows this is ridiculous. This is a big market team refusing to spend like a big market team.
And it's crazy.
Rami, you and I are usually seeing eye to eye in most of this, too. We're pretty level-headed for the most part, but like this is ridiculous. Come on.
It's crazy. It's crazy the way that this offseason is. And maybe they do something, and I have to eat my words. I'll be happy to eat my words in that way.
Right, make us look stupid again.
Right. Exactly. Make me look real dumb, Jed Hoyer and Tom Ricketts. Make me look real dumb for going after you all offseason for the way that you've gone about business. Maybe you're just waiting till just the right moment to pounce for an Alex Bregman. Meanwhile, you let Corbin Burnes go to the Diamondbacks? The Diamondbacks? Their TV network filed bankruptcy last year. But they have money for Corbin Burnes and you don't. Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
We won't be about the marquee network in 1 year.
Oh, yeah, we will. Oh, yes, we will. What sounds worse right now, that or we're going to take the North and not give it back?
I'm just going to tell you, that's a bad call.
Which one of those sounds worse right now to Chicago sports fans? 312-644-6767. I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. That's not the topic. But good Lord, does that go down as one of those things that you hear now and go, what? Wow, were you wrong? Hey, I did want to address this rumor. I'll get to your calls in just a second. 312-644-6767. And I don't know what's real and what's not in the modern media age. I'll just be real with you. But according to Walter football draft analyst Charlie Campbell, team sources told him that the Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson wants the Bears job, but would likely push out incumbent general manager Ryan Poles in the process. Campbell said Johnson would likely want to work with Washington Commanders assistant general manager Lance Newmark. Newmark was hired as Washington's assistant GM in February before the 2024 NFL season began, but previously spent 26 years with the Lions. He most recently held the position of senior director of player personnel in Detroit, where he oversaw both college and pro scouting operations during the 2022 and 2023 NFL seasons. Johnson was promoted to offensive coordinator for the Lions in February of 2022 under Newmark's watch. So the two have ties, and they're saying that's who Ben Johnson would want. And I got a text here, and I've seen a lot of stuff to this effect that I'm not pushing Ryan Poles out for a guy who's never been a head coach before. I would. I'm not against it. I'm really not. Now, I don't know. I don't get to interview Ben Johnson. You know what I mean? I'm not Kevin Warren or George McCaskey or anybody else that's in on that decision. But if I'm convinced that Ben Johnson is a quality head coach, not just a brilliant offensive mind and offensive coordinator and play caller, but a guy who can actually lead a football team, if I'm convinced of that fact and I want that guy to be my head coach, and this kind of goes hand in hand with everything I just said about Ryan Poles and what he's done since he's been here and what the resume and the results say about the job that he's done. I'm more excited and more impressed with what Ben Johnson has done at the NFL level. And I'm more excited and impressed by what Lance Newmark, the guy who he wants to be as GM reportedly, has done with at his time in the positions that he's held at the NFL level than I am with what Ryan Poles has done as the Bears GM. It's not even that I love those guys so much that I'm like, yeah, I got to have them, push Ryan Poles out. It's just like I look at Ryan Poles and I go, if I see a head coach I really like and he's bringing somebody with him with an impressive resume to be his general manager, you haven't done enough to not have that entice me. You know what I mean? Like I'm definitely entertaining that possibility. Just because Ryan Poles hasn't done enough for me not to entertain that possibility. And Ben Johnson has done stuff that, again, tantalizes me. This Newmark character has done some stuff that tantalizes me as a Bears fan. So that's where I'm at with it. And again, 312-644-6767. I said I was going to get to calls this segment. Sean, I probably got to get to a break, don't I?
Yeah. All right.
I'll get to your calls next segment, I promise. Are you a local business owner or employee? How would you like to have your commercial air during Super Bowl 59 right here on The Score? This is your chance. We've brought back the Score Big for Your Business contest where you can enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on The Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 59. From Westwood One, log on to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now and learn more details. Deadline to enter is January 19th. Right after this, Caleb Williams not happy with how you're treating certain group of his teammates. Have we been too hard on this offensive line? We'll take a little deep dive coming up next. Right after this, Rami Makhlouf with you right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.